Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Today we began a series called Norm. The series is, I know that sounds a little unusual, but the series is called Norm. And I think they're putting up a picture on the screen of what we would call the mascot of the series, Norm. Our team's having a lot of fun. I would invite you, encourage you to follow along on social media. They're just creating a lot of humorous sort of settings with Norm in it that will be going on the next few weeks. And even, you know, I think we're going to set up some opportunities to meet Norm in the lobbies and have your picture made with Norm. But let me make it clear that Norm is not a person, and Norm is not a guy or a girl. So if you have a friend here at church that's named Norm, don't give him a hard time. It's not about him, all right? It's not about a person. It's not about a guy. It's not about a girl. So what Norm is that Norm is a standard that people conform to. It's the usual, the typical, and the expected. So if you're here today, glad you're here, you're ready to receive, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to lean in, get ready, maybe prepare yourself to take some notes, because we're going to have an awesome day today through the Word of God. I believe we're going to help some people. I believe we're going to grow together. And if that's your desire, just say with me right now, if you would, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it. I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. So Norm is a standard that people conform to. It's the usual, the typical, and the expected. Norm is what most people hope to be. Oddly enough, it's interesting, but most people hope to be Norm. Parents beg their kids, why can't you be normal? Why can't you just be normal? Like, how come you gotta be the way you are? And then as kids get older, that's what they wish their parents would be. When their friends come over to their house, like, oh, I just hope my dad is normal today. Or when the parents come to the ball game, like, please, guys, please don't embarrass me. Like, be normal. Even at a subconscious level, people try to be norm. We have a picture of a thermostat here today. It's a kind of a norm thermostat. And in the same way that a thermostat regulates and maintains the temperature in your house, normal is a setting that self-regulates your thoughts and your behavior and our decisions. And it just sort of pulls us back whenever we would drift away from the norm. It's like a regulator of norm. Like, you know, we speak out, we blurt something in the crowd, and we're like, oh, that was stupid. And the norm regulator goes off, and we're like, I want to be more normal next time. Like, we realize we're not fitting in with the crowd, and so the norm is pulling us back and drawing us back. Normal is the measurement that you often hear people use to evaluate themselves. They use what I call the most people measurement to affirm themselves. So they'll say things like, well, most people have a bad marriage. Like, we're no different than most couples, right? Or most people have credit card debt and struggle financially. Come on, Pastor, I'm no different than most people. Parents might say, Most people's kids are messed up. I know my kid's not perfect, but most people's kids are messed up, or they're going to be messed up. And we're no different. Like, we're no different than most people. I remember when Jody was growing up, and sometimes when I was speaking to our church, I would say things about, by faith, my daughter is going to, she's going to be strong, and she's going to be courageous, and she's not, her life's not going to drift away from the good things and the God things, and she's always going to come back on track if she drifts a little bit. And I remember people would say, yeah, Pastor, you know, you have a rude awakening. Like all kids, like if you just haven't noticed, like all kids go that other way. Like, and I can tell you from experience that most people are going to deal. And that's exactly what we do oftentimes, is that we use the measurement of more people to affirm ourselves and to literally evaluate our lives based on the measurement that I call most people. But what if I were to tell you this weekend that norm is not as safe as it feels? What if I told you that norm, in fact, is a trap? That God hasn't called us to live normal lives. And that you will not get to your best life by taking your cues from normal people. That the life that you really want is going to be counterintuitive to the way that most people think and live. So my goal in this series is to convince you that you were not born to be norm. That you were not born to be norm. In fact, I want you right now to turn around and look at somebody and tell them, you were not born to be norm. You were not born. Tell somebody, you were not born. You were not born. Now tell the person you avoided the first time. Tell that other person, you were not born. And now how about you just say it to yourself. Say, I was not born to be norm. See, you were created by God as a unique, one-of-a-kind, no-one-else-like-you kind of person. And you are meant to stand out, not fit in. You're where you are and why you are because God has special assignments with you in mind. And your overall assignment is to glorify God with your life. Now you might say, well, Pastor Kevin, I don't want to be different. I cringe at the idea, the thought of being different. But let's think about it today. If norm is so good, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? How about you like say to somebody, yeah, good thought. I mean, why are most people dissatisfied with their life? Why are more than half the marriages ending in divorce? Why so much financial pressure? Why is it so common? And why are there so many hurting people? Can you think with me? Why so much hate? Addictions, domestic violence. If norm is so great and so good, and we're all striving to be norm, why isn't it working? If you are a Christ follower, if you consider yourself today to be a Christ follower, I want to appeal to you and say to you that Jesus did not come to earth so that we could live the norm life. He said it himself in John 10 and 10. He declared it. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The King James rendering is that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So notice that he doesn't say, I came so that you could have an average life, a usual life, a normal life. No. He says, I have come that you could have a full and abundant life. And you know what else? Jesus did not model a norm life. He declared it. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. Not the will of the people around me. Not what my friends want or my family want. I came to do the will of my Father. And then he lived true to his mission. He wasn't held back by fears. I love this about Jesus. He lived bold. He declared his zeal for God's house. One day when he charged into the temple and he turned over tables and then he says to everybody around and scattered the money changers' money, and he just boldly declared and said that my Father's house is meant to be a house of prayer. And then he gave an explanation and he said, the zeal of the house has consumed me. Like he didn't apologize for having a different path in his life. And he didn't waste time and energy on petty things. He believed in himself when others doubted, when others criticized him. He believed in his mission. He believed and stayed true to his cause. And he was so courageous. If you're looking for a hero, we're going to have a great time, by the way, next weekend, Father's Day weekend. Get every guy you know. It's going to be like guys weekend in the house. Get all the guys out. We're going to have an awesome time next weekend on Father's Day weekend with all the men, all the guys, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, your son, your dad. Like, get all the guys here if you would. It's going to be great. But one of the things that men are hungry for today is they're hungry for heroes. We're hungry for examples. We're hungry for people that we can learn from and glean from and observe and watch and say, that's what I want to be. And I hate it that society and a lot of Christianity has feminized Jesus and taken away his masculinity. It's one of the things I hate, that we have this idea, and you know what I'm saying is true, and this image sort of is perpetuated in society of Jesus as being this, you know, robe, chiffon robe wearing Jesus, and really nice and, you know, and refined and no hair out of place, and like, you know, and Jesus was just like always like, are you okay? And is everybody okay? I just want everybody to be okay. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Like, that was not Jesus. Jesus was a man's man. He was masculine. He was in construction. He was a hard worker. And he was bold and he was courageous. And he busted through all of the adversity of people that would try to discourage him and get him off course. And he stayed the course and he stayed true to the course right up to the very end until he finished the course that God had given to him. He wasn't afraid and he wasn't fearful. I love that about Jesus. And let me also say, those who followed Jesus were not norm. Those who followed Jesus live their lives with unusual gratitude and uncommon commitment, like uncommon commitment to his cause. So Here's what I want to say at the outset of this series. Maybe, just maybe, you're trying too hard to be norm when God's called you to live a life that's not norm. I'm thinking I want to get some shirts that say, not norm. I'm so inspired when I started digging into this thought and realizing that this is exactly my tendency, is to want to be accepted, is to want everybody to be happy with me, to want to please as many people as I can. And then I realize that serving God means that I cannot be pressed into the mold of what everyone else would want me to be. And I need to just keep my head up, and I need to keep my shoulders back, and I need to be okay with not being norm. Because God hasn't called me to be norm. I want to give you four things that God's not called us to be or has called us to be. And I want you to get something, if you can, to write with as I began the list. First of all, we're not called to live norm in our perspective. We're not called to live norm in our perspective. We're called to be faith-filled. Big thinking. We're called to have a perspective that God is with us and God is for us. And no matter the trial that we have in our life, to see ourselves as loved by God, to see ourselves as having His favor on our lives, we're called to, even in the most difficult days of our life, to believe with all of our heart that in all things, God works for good. That God is at work even when I don't see Him and when I don't feel Him here. That's what we're called to, is a different perspective than the norm. Jesus said this one day. He said, if you want to be great, learn to serve. Now, that is not norm. Like the norm thing is, if you want to be great, like push yourself forward into people. Like make sure that you draw attention to yourself. Like, be competitive with the people around you. Put people down so that can bring you up. Like run for the spotlight. Like, that's how you become great. But that's not how God's path to greatness looks. Jesus said, no. If you want to be great, learn to serve. And I love the word learn, because He's talking to people that evidently didn't really know how. And so He's saying, hey, you want to be great? I'm going to tell you how to be great. Learn. Everybody shout, learn. Learn to serve. It's interesting, isn't it? That's not norm. That's not norm. But you know what I've noticed is that in life, when people, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at church, when people actually learn to serve, you know what begins to happen? They begin to get promoted. Good things start coming their way. The doors and the opportunities open up in their life. The job that they work, when they're willing to serve, you know what else Jesus said, by the way? Jesus said, if you're asked to go 1 mile, don't just go one, go two. That is not norm. Like, if your boss asks you to go a mile, you like go a mile and kind of go like, are you happy? I went a mile. I didn't go one inch more than a mile. That's norm. But Jesus said, no. If you're asked to go one, go two. And what I've discovered, I think if you'll really consider it, it's so true. The extra milers are the ones who end up having the favor of God and man. They have the favor of the people around them. Why? Because they're doing life God's way. Amen? Not norm, but it's God's way. Let me show you a second thing that we're called to. Secondly, we're not called to be norm in our priorities. So we're not called to be norm in our perspective, and we're not called to be norm in our priorities. In our priorities. Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom. Seek first. Everybody shout first.
First.
Say it again, first.
First.
Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be given to you as well. Now, he was just talking about clothing. He was talking about the needs of your life and what you would be concerned about and maybe get stressed out about, a place to live, transportation that you need. And then he lands on this. And he's like, hey, but let me just tell you. Let me just tell you God's way. Seek first his kingdom. And then, like, all those things that you would stress about, hey, he knows. He knows that you have need of those things. And all those other things, they will be added into your life. But this is not norm. Norm is me first. Me first. Me. What about me? Are you anybody thinking about me? Me. Me don't feel good. Me having a bad day. Me wants to get out of church. Me wants this to be over really, really quick. The principle of the tithe. That first things belong to God. That's not norm. Norm is, no. I want this, I got to do this, I got to do that. But first things belong not to me, to God, to the point where, maybe some of you are going to get shocked by this, to the point where the Bible literally likens it to the idea that if you take the tithe and you use it on yourself, you are robbing from God. Like his name is on it. Getting quiet. And you know what? A lot of pastors won't even go here. Like I'm going here right now. A lot of pastors won't because they want to stay in the norm. But I'm not called to lead a norm church. I'm not called to lead norm people. Come on, we can't impact our city being norm. We can't impact our city always doing what norm does. We can only do big things for God when we do things God's way. And God's way isn't norm. Am I helping anybody? Come on, has anybody got a big amen going on in your heart today? The habit of talking to God is not norm. The habit of singing throughout the day is not norm. Driving down the street and having worship music going and nobody else in the car, you don't really care that they think you're crazy sitting there at the stoplight because you are, I'm gonna, what is it? Fight my battles. Help me out, church. Help me out, church. Yeah, this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. That ain't norm. Norm is, no, I'll tell you how I fight my battles. I'll give you a piece of my mind. That's how I fight my battle. I'll tell you what else. You don't like that part, and you come on, right? That's how I fight my battles. Like, a piece of me, bring it on. Like, that's how I fight my, no. This is how I fight my battles. Talking to God throughout your day as if he is actually there. It's not Norm. Not Norm. It's really common. Let me just say this. You being here today, if you didn't notice, it's not Norm. It's really common for me to run into people in the city or the community, and they're excited to see me, and they tell me they just love our church. And it happened to me a couple times this week. One time it happened this week. Was that I entered into a conversation, just a quick, brief interaction, and she stopped, froze, looked at me, said, "Who are you? I know that voice." If you haven't noticed, my voice is not Norm. And she realized that it was me in my baseball cap and my workout gear on, and then what normally happens, or what usually happens, is that that person starts saying how much they love our church and how thankful they are for us. And then in the conversation, in a few minutes, it becomes obvious that they don't really come. Like they think they come and this is their church, but by their conversation, it becomes obvious that you know, we have more than one campus. Oh my goodness, I've been going to Covenant Celebration Church forever. Like, which is what we were named 15 years ago, right? It's like, and then what's odd is they realize what's going on, they start to confess to me, and which is really awkward, and I hate it. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't have a robe on, don't have a collar, you don't need to confess to me. Like, but they began to confess, well, actually, I haven't been there in a long time. I haven't been there lately, and you know, I got this. Well, you know, the norm is to put everything else before the habit of going to church. So hats off to everyone who's in the habit of coming to the house of God. That's not norm. That's not norm. Thirdly, we're not called to live norm in our pattern. Our pattern. And I want to show you Romans 12. Please just let me slow down a little bit and look intently at the scripture. It says, Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy or his goodness in your life, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. How many of you know that most of us, if any of us, will not be called on to ever give our lives for Christ? Like to die for Christ. That it is happening to people in the world right now. There are people who are dying because of their faith in Christ. Most of us will never be faced with that or deal with that, but here is the target. And he says, I urge you to offer yourself as living sacrifice. Holy, please God. Now this is your true and proper worship, he says. And then the next line, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by beginning to think differently than norm people think. You want the best life? Don't do life norm way. Yeah. See, to conform means that you're being pressed into a pattern by social norms of our society. And back then, in the days of the New Testament, it was happening then. There was the pressure to conform. And he's addressing it, and he's saying, don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. And then I want to read it in the Message version. It just lights it up and expands on it. So Romans 12 says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, like you're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for this day. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will in my life today. I pray, Lord, that I'll run into the people you want me to run into, and that I will have the right words in the conversation that you want me to say. And God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for breath in my body. And Lord, I present this day as a day that you have given me. It belongs, Lord. It belongs to you. I want to give it back to you in whatever way I can. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted, hello, to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, because that's what happens. Like it happens at a subconscious level. But instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that what he wants for you, and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Isn't that good? I grew up in a family where everyone celebrated eating. Eating was not just about nourishment, it was about pleasure. So our family would talk about food. It was like the best thing of the day, best thing of the week. And they would describe foods to one another. Have you tried this food? Like, have you gone to that new restaurant? Like the new, oh my goodness, like the rolls. They bake these bread rolls, like these rolls big, like amazing. And then the all you can eat, like you can, just for like $8, you go, you eat all that you can eat. Like my family did not eat to live, they lived to eat. And what was interesting about that was somewhere in my teens, I loved sports and I loved playing baseball and football. So I started noticing I got to keep myself in shape. And so I started putting more value on that and started changing my diet and my eating habits. And I'll never forget, the surprise was that my family didn't like that. Like they didn't like that. And they were like not supportive. And meanwhile, I start realizing that they're at the doctor all the time. Like they're dealing with health issues. Like they've got corrosion in their veins. Like they are obese and they can't get up the steps. And they're only 18. It just shouldn't be happening. So I become more vigilant in the idea that I cannot conform. I can't let the fact that they don't support this or like this take me away from a better life. And I through that process, you know, I went a whole different road. And can I tell you, I am so thankful today that I did not conform to the pattern of my family. There are people who are here this weekend who are coming to church and serving God against the wishes of your family. Like some of you, your dad doesn't like it. Your parents don't approve. Your support system, you have to leave it behind. There's some of you ladies who are here and you bring your kids and your husband wishes you didn't even come to church. And I just want to say to you, don't you allow what other people are feeling or doing or saying to get you off the path that God has you on. You will be so thankful as time goes on that you don't conform. And it's a crazy thing. Some of you just need to get ready, because whenever you're not conforming, it's amazing how people, like your life is actually getting better and they resent it. You're actually becoming a better, it amazes me, honestly, I'm shocked by it. We have young men whose lives have been turned over to God, and they used to be addicts, and they used to be, basically their life was a mess and a wreck and they couldn't hold down a job. And now, through Christ and through the support systems and the family of God, their whole life is turned around. And they are productive, and they are healthy. And you know what? Their family doesn't like it. And I'm always amazed, like why is that? And I think part of it is when you start actually being better, they start feeling worse about themselves. But don't you let it mess with you. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Good for you. You're making some good decisions, forming some great habits in your life. And don't allow yourself to be pressured into conforming to the world around you. You're not meant to do that. Amen? Okay, one more. One more. We're not called to live, and let me just review them. We're not called to have the same perspective, the same priority, or have the same pattern. But fourth, we are not called to live norm in our passion. The norm is to live a life that is moderate in passion. In the gray zone. Like not really committed any, you know, to any really great extent to the opportunities that God gives that person in life. Like that's the norm. That's the norm. Not to go all in. Like don't go all in. Like don't get really like fired up and passionate about your life. Like it's much better to keep your expectations down so you won't be disappointed. And norm always tries to pull people back into that kind of thinking. There's a story in the Bible where a king named Jehoash, who was that way actually, he was very much a moderate, apathetic, lethargic sort of leader. And one day he was meeting with the prophet, and the prophet was like talking to him about his life and his future, and they got out an arrow, they shot it, and he said, your future's like that. You just believe that God's gonna give you a great future. And then he said to Jehoash, he said, grab some arrows and I want you to strike the ground with a vision for your life. Strike the ground with a vision for your life. And Jehoash like grabbed some arrows, and then he just like hits the ground three times. And then in my imagination, he kind of looks back at the prophet like, okay, did what you told me to do. You happy now? And that day, that prophet looked back at him with sorrow and said to him, you may not realize it, but you are creating self-imposed limitations on your own life by your lethargy and your apathetic approach. Like you just kind of boom, boom. Why were you not grabbing the arrows when I told you to do it with a vision for your future and strike it 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 with enthusiasm and with passion to say, God's hand is on my life and God has great things for me, and strike it with a vision and with passion. Why would you do it apathetically? And as I read that story again this week, I thought, man, what would it be like for a man of God to just say that and then walk away like, I've done all I can do for you, man. Your apathy, your lethargy, your approach to life is gonna limit you, and I can't help you, and God can't help you until you stir up the passion, until you start to realize that my life is a gift from God, and what I do with it is my gift back to Him. Every day is a blessing. Every time I wake up, it is a gift. And I'm talking to some of you today, and you may have lived this way a long time, but if this message can just stir you up and say you were not born to be norm, to have that moderate gray zone. Your dad might have lived that way. Your family may live that way. How about you fire up? How about you get up in the morning and you say, God, thank you for everything you're doing in my life. I'm so glad this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. Come on. I'm going to come at life with everything that I have. I'm going to give it my very, very best. I'm going to live with passion.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.